Well, it is our y'all's prayer this afternoon. Like I said, I have a burden on my heart I'd like to share, and I ask your participation. If we don't finish this afternoon, that's all right. We may pick it up Wednesday night. We'll just see how the Lord leads this afternoon. I'd like to start. The other Thursday, I was, some of us were at, Hahatonka State Park. And we were walking down a path, and it was paved. And on this path, it was like there was asphalt on it, and there were some big bumps across that path. And Renee made some comment about, you know, what was causing it. Y'all know what was causing it. There's trees. It's a tree-lined path, so there's trees all the way down this path, and there are just cracks, raised cracks all the way across that walkway. What was it that caused those cracks? They're roots. And they were, it didn't start like that. You know, for years probably that path was smooth. It looked good on the surface, but underneath there was something at work. And I mentioned the scripture there as we walked down that path, but I want to talk, and I'll just write it on the board. I want to talk about a little root. That path did not get cracked overnight. It took a period of probably years for it to get to the place that you have to actually watch where you step, because it would cause you to stumble if you weren't watching where you stepped. Now, I'm going to illustrate, when we think about a root, it's something that starts little, right? It doesn't start out as something big or thick. But normally it's just a little tendril, and when it's left unchecked, it gets bigger and bigger and thicker, and it grows until actually roots can cause a lot of damage. It can damage houses. It can cause a house to fall down. It can cause a foundation to crumble. It can pull it down. A root can do a lot of damage if it's in the wrong place. And keep in mind that roots, you know, the easiest time to weed your garden is when? When the roots are little, right? And sometimes you can go out there and you can just take your two fingers and just pull it up. And it's not a problem. It's no big deal. It's a non-issue. But when you let a root stay there, they can get deeper and thicker and deeper and deeper until it's almost, sometimes it's very, very difficult to remove that root. And sometimes, I don't know if the rest of you children have ever been guilty of this. I was as a child, and I will have to confess my children have done this before. When there was weeding to be done and you just get the top. So, well, the weeding is done. It looked good on the surface. Took care of the top. But the next time this weed comes up in the same spot and you go and look and you find this very thick root, someone didn't get the root out. And it's very hard to get it out. All right, that's what a root does. It starts little. Now, I want to, and humor me a little bit, I'd like to pass something out. We're not having ordinance service. Just hold on to it. I'm going to pass it out, and you just hold on to it for just a minute, okay? All right. Thinking about little roots, feel free to take a drink. It won't hurt you. Feel free to, all of you, take a little drink. You don't have to drink all of it if you don't want. Does anybody know what that is? The label on the bottle said tonic water. But you know what tonic water is? How did it taste? How did this taste? There are some similarities, and what is the similarity? Sour? What? Bitter. What do you think? Would you like some more, Brother Cook? Did you all taste, was it pleasant to the taste to most of you? No? Because see, the thing is, I looked at the ingredients and the number one ingredient was corn syrup. So there's your sweet, Brother Cook. There are some good, you could say that's good. There's something that tastes sweet in there. But there's quinine in that. And they put quinine in that because quinine is a very, very, and I've had some that was a lot more bitter than this was. I was a little disappointed in this. But I've had some that's been, it is very, very bitter to where you just pucker up and cannot hardly taste it, drink it. But do you taste that sharp, bitter taste in there? Do you realize that that's a very minute part of what's in that? But yet it was enough to permeate the whole, all of the corn syrup, everything, and it made the whole thing taste that sharp, bitter, grapefruit, however you want to describe it. That's what caused that sharp bitterness. And the scripture that I would like us to give some consideration to is in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And if someone could just get that and read for us, verses 12 to 15. All right, the scripture, he gave a warning. He said that many would be defiled, and they would be defiled by a root of bitterness. Now, a root, we've already talked about what that is and how a root behaves. We've looked at bitterness. What you just tasted to a degree is what is bitter. By definition, how would you describe bitter? I tried to illustrate it just a little bit, but what are some of the adjectives that you would use to describe bitterness or bitter? Sharp? Sour? Unpleasant? Those are all dictionary definitions that y'all are given, most of them. Piercing? Acrid? Causing a sharply unpleasant, painful, or stinging sensation. Harsh. Now, the word bitterness means exhibiting strong animosity, a bitter struggle, resentment, or cynicism. That's what bitterness is. And the scripture here said that, and he was talking about the chastisement of the Lord. And I want to just give the, my purpose is not to take a scripture out of context. So I want to preface our little discussion with this. This scripture, when we talk about a root of bitterness, it's actually drawn from the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, where he is talking there about a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Wormwood is also in gall. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, they gave him vinegar and gall. In part, that was given to dull the pain. And actually what you all just drank, quinine kills a lot of parasites and things as well. But it's that sharp, it's that acrid, it's that bitterness, that which is bitter. And when they're talking about a root of bitterness in a lot of places in referencing Deuteronomy, it's actually talking about idolatry. And we're going to deal with this, Lord willing, maybe next Sunday a little more, not this particular verse. But false doctrine, idolatry, something that is a root of bitterness, something that's not wholesome, that can defile the whole body, that can defile the whole person. And here he was instructing them to be careful and look diligently lest we fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up trouble you. And then he said, thereby many would be defiled. My burden this afternoon is not as much today the idolatry and the root of sin that it is directly referencing. I'm interested in that root of personal bitterness. When we talk about bitterness, normally we're not thinking about idolatry. We're thinking about things in our lives that we say, they feel bitter, or I'm feeling bitter. When someone feels bitter at something, I know we've given adjectives for the word bitter, but how might we more describe? If you said someone, it's easier to talk about someone than ourselves, right? What would you mean if you said someone is bitter? What are we saying? They're hard or turned against. That's a good description. Unforgiving. That's another. When we say someone's bitter, it means there's some unforgiveness there. There's something that has not been forgiving, or cynical. What does it mean to be cynical? Critical would be part of it. A lack of what? No expectation of good. There he is. Bitterness is an underlying problem that does not always manifest itself on the outside. When we talk about a root of bitterness, just like those roots, the tree roots, when they were small, it didn't cause a problem on the outside. But there was something at work that was going to end up causing a problem. And there are roots in our lives that if we do not take care of them when they are little, they can cause us to have bitterness. And the scripture says many are going to be defiled. And I remember Brother Austis used to tell us that he felt like that this is where more saints, if I can use that word loosely here, okay, that more saints or people sitting in the congregation were going to lose their soul over this thing more than any other reason. In other words, unforgiveness, the hard turning against something. And so I just have a real burden to caution us to be careful. That's why he said, look diligently, lest you fail of the grace of God. Because why do you think he said to look diligently? Why do you think he said that? That's right. Yes. There's a justifiable reason for feeling like I do. Yes. A lot of times it comes from hurt. A valid hurt. That's right. And whether it's valid or not, but a lot of times it can be a very valid hurt. I believe he said looking diligently because it's something that all of us, and that all of us here, and I know the children, I'm not talking about, you know, some people wear their feelings on their sleeves. They just, you can look at them wrong and they will be hurt at you. That's a different issue. I'm not talking about those kind of issues. But in life, I think that if after you've lived long enough, there are going to be situations that arise that all of us are prone in this life to become bitter at certain circumstances that we face. And I think that's why Paul said, he said, looking diligently. In other words, there's going to be, and I know, again, he was talking about chastisement, but in the sense, I believe it's applicable to in the sense of personal bitterness, that there are going to be things after you've lived life long enough. It may not happen your first 20 years. It may not happen your first 30 years. But I'll say in the last 10 years, it seems like I was thinking about my own life, and I thought, you know, there's been two or three things that have happened that the Lord said, you better look diligently. You better look, because if you're not careful when things happen, you can get embittered. If it can come from mistreatment, it can come from a justifiable hurt, what someone has done you wrong. I'm not talking about little minor offenses, but I'm talking about major things that can affect you as a person in who you are. And the Lord's saying, look diligently, huh? They can affect, and that's what a root will do. And I think we just need to put that out as fact. A root left in the ground will grow. You water it, especially when you water it and you take care of it. You know, people nourish. they nourish hurts and they nourish things like that. I want to just share, and I'm not going to get into any specifics, but there were some events that have transpired, and the Lord let me know, and please understand, please give me time to explain. The Lord let me know that I was at risk. Now, children, Brunel, maybe we'll let you answer this, put you on the spot. What does it mean when we talk about children that are at risk? What do we mean by that? If we say, they're at-risk children, what are we talking about? Okay, what about Head Start children? Have they done something wrong? Okay. Part of in at risk, it has different implications and different meanings. Some of it, you know, Sister Nell mentioned, it's looking to the future of what might be. It's not always that you've just done horrible and but it's like there are some things that are going on in your schoolwork that are saying that if we don't take care of this problem now, it's going to give you some big problems down the road. At-risk children, even before they enter school, are children that come from environments that put them at a disadvantage to start with. You come from, and I did a survey, a very extensive survey in high school of over 300 students that I could predict their GPAs. Based on my surveys, I could predict someone's GPA, and I'd probably be pretty accurate. And it was based on whether they came from a two-parent home, whether they went to church, whether they had a TV, based on how many hours of it they watched, whether they had a computer, if they worked a job, this was in high school, what kind of activities they were involved in. And I took those statistics and formulated them, and you could predict almost everybody that had a 4.0, They had common attributes. Those that had high GPAs, you could just go through the list. Those that were at risk, there were certain characteristics in their families and in their lives that put them at risk. And they hadn't even done anything. It was the environment that they were being raised in. So this is my point. There are things that can happen in our life, and I was making it personal, that the Lord let me know you're at risk, not because you've done anything, but because of circumstances in life, if you don't respond right, you could be bitter. And so I had a choice to make. What am I going to do with it? Do I want to become bitter at this? Or how am I going to handle it? And I want to, and this is my little part of my burden. I want all of you to know, and again, some of you younger ones, you young people, maybe you haven't been there. And I will say I probably was, and there were things when I was a young person that are hurtful and things happen. But you live life long enough, you're going to come up to some things that, like Sister Tammy said, it can affect who you are as a person and how you respond to life. And the Lord let me know, okay, this is one of those areas, and you're at risk here. In other words, look diligently. You know what? Be careful here. Look diligently. Lest you fail of the grace of God, lest that root of bitterness creep into your life. And you know, a little bit of bitterness affects the whole person, doesn't it? It affects who we are. What is the object of people's bitterness? What is the object? You understand the question? In other words, what are people bitter at? Yeah, and that would be one of them. Many times people are bitter at someone. I'm bitter at them. In other words, there is a resentment. And bitterness is more than just unforgiveness, okay? If someone is bitter, there is unforgiveness, usually. Somewhere in there, usually. But it's more than unforgiveness. There is something that is sharp. There's something sharp, and there are walls that are erected. And there is a resentment and a malice behind it. And usually someone, when we talk about someone being bitter, a lot of times it's directed at someone. What are other things people are bitter at? Okay? There's two of them right there. One of them, sometimes people get bitter at God. And usually that is a result of things that have happened in their life, circumstances, physical problems. Someone becomes disabled. Someone becomes unable to function as most people do. And if they don't take care of those things properly, they can become bitter and they blame God. They say, well, if God really loved me, that wouldn't have happened. What about the church? Have you ever heard someone who's basically bitter at God's people? Bitter at the church. And there's one other main one. People can be bitter at themselves. You know that? They can be so upset and unforgiving maybe of past mistakes or past failures that there's almost walls they erect in their own life and resentments about themselves and who they are that affect everything else. It taints everything in their life. That little drink we had, there's just a very small bit of quinine in that. But it affected the whole thing. If we allow bitterness into our life, it will begin to affect our perspectives of everybody. It will begin to affect our relationships with everybody. It will begin to affect who we are as a person, how we view ourselves, how we view God, and how we view God's people. So he said, look diligently. Because there's going to be a lot of people that have let this root of bitterness get in, and it defiles. What are some of the other reasons for bitterness? I know we've mentioned others, but specifically, what are some reasons that people become bitter? Yes. So again, coming back kind of to the circumstances in life, one of those is loss of material things. You know, when people lose things materially. You know, this is the point. When that happens to you, look diligently. If you lose material things, look diligently. Loss of loved ones. There are people, many people today that are bitter because a loved one died. A husband, a wife, a child. Do you know statistically a husband and a wife that lose a child are much more prone to get a divorce? It wasn't the other person's fault that their child died. But it's because there gets bitterness. There becomes bitterness in their life and they begin to build those walls up until it causes a separation in the home. Dreams of life. People that had hopes and expectations and plans and they didn't work out. And so they become bitter. Hurts. That's been touched on, but I think it's one of the very important ones. Hurts and offenses. When people offend you. Has anybody here ever been offended? Okay, offended not because they didn't shake your hand or they didn't speak to you, okay? But has anyone here ever really been done wrong? Really offended? The person was offensive in what they did, and it wasn't just a small thing. Anybody here? Do you know what we need to do when we're in that place? We need to look diligently. Because we're at risk when that happens. We're at risk. I don't know. It seems like, and I'll just, well, like I said, there are hurts and there are offenses and then there are offenses. And there are things that can, if we allow them to stay in our life, bitterness, again, it will build walls that because of what this person did, now how I relate to you, I'm seeing it through the eyes of what that person did to me. I know what they said, I know how they treated me, and so I take that and extrapolate it into my relationships with you, you see, until pretty soon the church, I won't come to church because everybody. Have you ever heard someone say, well, everybody does this, or everybody, and you stop and say, wait, who are you talking about? Who's everybody? And normally it's one or two people. It's like, that's not everybody, but they allowed bitterness to get in their life and it tainted their relationship with everybody. It happens in families. You know, a family member does something that maybe was hurtful, and pretty soon they take that out and it affects their relationship with everybody in the family. Do you see how we need to be careful? Any thoughts or comments there? I'm not going to take the time to read these all. These are some familiar people. But remember when Hannah was in the temple? The scripture says that she wept in bitterness of soul. It's because she didn't have a child. It was something in life that she looked and said, everybody else has this and I don't have it. And she allowed, and there was some bitterness in her spirit. Job, he was a perfect man in that he charged God not foolishly. It didn't say that he accepted everything and said, oh, this is wonderful. He didn't. Job, he didn't charge God, but Job in one place he said, my soul is weary of life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. That was due to extreme loss. In essence, he lost his children, he lost his material goods, and in a sense, he lost his wife. Curse God and die. The support was not there. And there was some bitterness in his spirit, although he didn't charge God. Another scripture in Proverbs said, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. That's talking about in life. Parents and their children, disappointment in what my child's doing. And he said that brings bitterness. But do you see how this can affect everything? All of these things. Hannah, Job, and the one that David was speaking of, or Solomon rather, where a father or a mother, the bitterness could start affecting their whole entire perspective in life. Ezekiel, he said, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. In other words, God gave Ezekiel, we're talking about the church now, okay? We're talking about the ministry, talking about it, something God told him to say. And he said, I went in the bitterness and the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And that's when Ezekiel got to the people with a message. It said he just kept quiet. And he sat where they sat for 7 days before he delivered the message. He had time to calm down. Righteous indignation. Do you realize this is a danger? We can look sometimes at problems in a congregation or problems in the church and be so disgusted with it, we can get bitter and say, who needs this? And walk away, and we're left by ourselves. You see? We can allow bitterness at what maybe we didn't do anything, but we look around us at what's going on. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in a congregation. Maybe it's in the body. And we look at problems until we say, I'm disgusted. The bitterness of my spirit, I'm just going to go to my corner. There's another scripture. I know there's some more depth to these scriptures that we don't have time to deal with. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In marriage relationships, the scripture, there is a danger that where hurts come, where misunderstandings come, that they be dealt with as the scripture teaches us with grace and love and forgiveness, lest you allow bitterness to stay down. It starts little. Remember, a little root of bitterness. Do you see where bitterness, that we're all, in a sense, at risk in different areas? Bitterness can defile us. And my words are inadequate. And I know this is kind of a little mixture of how I'm delivering this today. But we are all at risk. That's my point. And some of you younger ones, maybe you haven't been there. And you know, 15 years ago, if you would have come to me, I could have told you little things that, you know, oh, they did this, and that was kind of hurtful. 15 years ago, But where I stand today and what I've been through in the last few years, you know, there are some things I could say I was at risk. And if I would have allowed it, thing about being bitter is what was brought out. A lot of times you are justified. You know, there is a reason that this person or this family or these people or that they did wrong. They did wrong. How are we going to let it affect us, though? See? So there are going to be some things that happen in life that we have to be careful and aware that there can be a little root. And if we don't bring those things to the Lord, it will change who we are. It will change our interactions with people. It will change our perspectives. And it is a great danger. And that's where I just want to give a real caution today. Sister Jeannie, you mentioned something about bitterness. Let me just ask you this question. Do we always know when we're bitter? If we're bitter, if we start getting there? That's right. That's right. And that's what happens even with that little tonic water. It's just a little bit, and the whole thing was defiled, if you will. The whole thing was affected by it. So under the surface, there can be things going on sometimes that we really are not aware of. And that's where I'm thankful for a merciful God, a God that is long-suffering when we don't even realize it. But then when the Lord does bring it up, or we start seeing these signs. And some of the signs, it's kind of like a root. You ever tried to go pull up one of those grass, certain kind of grass, and you pull it, and all of a sudden there's a tendril all the way across the yard. You can just pull and pull, and it just comes up to the surface every once in a while with a little bit of grass, but there's a root. What happens is every time a situation or something arises, and it may be once a month, maybe it's once a week, maybe it's once a day, but when something is coming up and it just causes that harsh, acrid, unpleasant, pugnant sensation in your spirit, the warning signs, the warning lights ought to be going off. Sometimes it comes out in anger. People can handle it, and then something comes up, and then it comes out in periodic outburst over the same thing. Normally, that's a sign that there's something else going on underneath the surface. It starts little. It starts little, and that's when we need to take care of it. But the result, and Sister Jeannie touched on this, but the result, the end result of bitterness is, normally, if it's not taken care of, it can cause you to be very lonely. Because I'm hurt at life, I'm hurt at what happened, I'm hurt at circumstances that God allowed to come my way, I'm hurt at God's people, I'm hurt at this, and pretty soon people, they build up these walls and they become very lonely people. Unhappy, resentful, and you know that when we allow, and we'll just touch on unforgiveness as well here, but with unforgiveness and bitterness, it does more damage to us than it does anybody else. The person that was to, if we're going to put blame on someone, say, well, Brother Cook just did me wrong. But if I harbor unforgiveness and I get resentful, and pretty soon every time I see him, I really, you know, I'm struggling inside, and every day I wake up and you're thinking about how I was wrong, and pretty soon, Sister Melissa, well, she's married to him, so she's all, you know, I'll blame her too because they're kind of one and the same. And then, well, you know, Brother Randy and Sister Tammy, they're all kind of over there together. And so then they're part of it. And well, you know, Brother Just, that's their son. He's kind of the same thing. And pretty soon what's happened is that because of what one person did, I can't have a relationship with anybody. And it's because of what one person did. And who's the one that's... I'm the one that's damaging myself. But see, that's what bitterness does. And pretty soon then you've cut off God's people. You cut families or split up over it. It spreads, and this is what Sister Jeannie touched on. It spreads to future generations. When you get hurt, you are at risk. Okay? So if you don't get anything else out of this afternoon, when you get hurt, you are at risk. Okay? I won't, huh?
The victim.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And you know what it seems like when it comes to people, the squeaky wheel always gets the, what's the little phrase? Gets the oil. And sometimes, and I'll just tell you, in my experience, in one situation I think of where I was done very wrong, and I was at risk. Lord, let me know. You can't allow what they did to affect you. Yeah, I mean, you know, I told Renee the other night, we were talking about it when I was sharing kind of some of what I had on my heart, and I said, you know what? I still, when I think of these certain people, I grieve. I grieve, and it still hurts. But you know what? I had to come to a place that was like, Lord, I can't handle, I can't take this. I can't assume responsibility for their wrong. I can't assume responsibility for what they're doing wrong. But I had a decision to make, and I could have become bitter, and I would have been justified in the flesh. Understand? In the flesh. And that has happened more than one time that I'm just speaking personally. When who you are and what you are has been called into question, it's like, what are you doing? I had a choice to make. You can be bitter. You can become bitter and resentful or you can bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to make heaven and I want to have the love and the forgiveness and the grace to still be what you want me to be and then go on and have quality of life. But see, it spreads, and if I don't take care of something that could cause bitterness in my life, guess what it does to my wife? You know? Guess what it does to my children? I try to guard my children from you know, and it doesn't happen very often, thank the Lord, but the few times it's more than enough. Y'all that are older know what I'm talking about. But things you face in life. But I wouldn't want my children to have to deal with what I did. I can get victory over it. But how would we like to tell our children everything that you faced in life? I'm talking about not little petty offenses. I'm talking about things that could really justifiably cause you to be bitter. How would you like us all to go home and tell our children those things? You think that would change things? We could be sealing our children's fate almost sometimes. So that's where we need to take care of it. When we're at risk, we need to be careful. Let's go ahead and begin to bring this to a close. But again, that poison spreads to every area of life. As soon as we realize that there is a possibility that we're even at risk, we don't even say, I'm not bitter, I'm not unforgiven, I don't have unforgiveness, but things are going on that we realize we're in a precarious position and how it's going to affect us. That's the time we need to come to the Lord and just start opening up. Lord, this is hurting. I don't understand. And it's all right to tell the Lord how you feel. Don't even try to spiritualize it. Just tell the Lord how you feel. That's all right. But that's where we can begin to gain victories is when we come and say, Lord, I don't understand. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. And that's when we can begin to find a place that the Lord can begin to bring healing. I want us to just close with a few thoughts of how do we eradicate if there is a root of bitterness, or we realize that, you know, again, we're at risk and there's something at work there. What are some of the things we can do to eradicate or get rid of that bitterness? What's the first thing we have to do to start with? And this is just pretty basic. Okay, but what are we going to pray for? What do we have to do first? We have to recognize it, right? We have to acknowledge that, you know what, I have a need, and I recognize. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of people never get help because they're not willing to just acknowledge, I've got a problem. And pretty soon, if it's everybody else, probably who's the problem? See, if it's everybody else, more often than not, it's problems right here. If I'm upset at you and I'm upset at you and I won't talk to you and I won't have anything to do with you, no, you're no good, and you, most likely I'm the problem. Okay? Most likely. So we have to be able to come to a place, we're never going to get help until we can come to a place that we say, Lord, I have a need in my life. Maybe you are the victim. But Lord, I'm hurting and I need some help and I'm struggling with some of these thoughts. Do you know what does not mean you've sinned if you're struggling with something? That doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. It means that you haven't given in when you're struggling, but you're at risk. So we have to recognize it, and we have to have a desire. We have to have a desire for something better, for something different. And that's where the scripture says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You have to make a decision. And that's where, like I shared, I came to a place that I knew the Lord let me know I was at risk. So how are you going to deal with it? And I had to make a decision. Okay, we can put all of this on God, but we've got something to do with it. When things happen, maybe your health breaks. You've seen people, their health break and they're just bitter, resentful people. You know, I'm homebound now, I can't do anything, and they just get ugly. And I've also seen people that have been so sweet and so wonderful in adversity in their health. It's because they made a decision. They made a decision that, yeah, I'm disabled now, or I'm handicapped. That's not politically correct anymore. But I'm disabled and I can't do what I used to do, but I want to make the best of what the Lord has given me, and I'm going to be happy anyway by God's grace. They made a decision. That's what we need to do. When you're struggling financially, when your health changes, and I've been there. You have to make a decision. I'm going to do the best I can, and I want to keep the joy of the Lord. And the Lord will give you the grace to do it. Same thing with when you are mistreated horribly. You know, I'm talking about things that are going to last. You have to come to a place that you make a decision, said, I will not, by the grace of God, I will not be bitter. I'm not going to do it. And we have to make a choice to quit watering, to quit fostering. And one of the other things we have to do is we have to let go of it. That doesn't mean we're not going to still shed some tears. Doesn't mean we're not going to still hurt. And I'm going to go a step further. It doesn't mean that those that have betrayed a trust, that you can just go and trust them 100% again, because it's going to cause, and that's life. But it means you can still love them, and you can still forgive them, and you can still be kind to them. Okay? So we have to be willing to let that go, and we have to be willing to forgive. If we don't forgive, God will not forgive us, and that's why many people are defiled, because they're holding on to a grudge of what they did, and we have to forgive. And part of that is just bringing it to the Lord and giving it to Him and saying, Lord, I need some help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll confess, if it makes anybody feel any better, Brother Cook, I told the Lord, it's like, I don't think I'm bitter. You know, I didn't think I was, but Lord, I don't want to be. I don't want to be. And I need some help that I don't allow this, because in the flesh, it starts affecting our life. And there are some difficult places, folks, that we can go through that can change who we are. Be a completely different person. He is. And He will be our help. But we have to be willing to come. And if we see there have been some areas of unforgiveness that maybe we didn't realize, God hasn't cut us off. That was His mercy that He brought it to the surface. It's like, Lord, I didn't realize that's what it was. But if I start looking for these signs of bitterness, then it's, Lord, I didn't recognize that and I'm sorry. The Lord's there to forgive. And He's there to give us the grace. But it means I'll also repent. Doesn't mean I ever even backslid. But it means, Lord, I see that maybe I didn't have the forgiveness that I should have. Or my love was lacking. And Lord, I'm sorry. And that's where we're going to find victory. Have to be willing to acknowledge the need and where we are. There is an antidote to bitterness. The scripture says this way, Ephesians 4, and I think maybe even Brother Justin, I'm not sure if you read this morning or not, maybe you did. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, yeah, we read that this morning, forbearing one another in love. So when it involves someone else, that's the antidote. See, the bitterness, it permeates, it spreads. But the antidote, or to take that away, how do y'all get in cooking? How do you get, if you have something bitter, what do you add to get rid of the bitterness? Sugar and salt. Do you add salt too? Sugar and salt. Let every word, how's it supposed to be seasoned? That's with God's grace, isn't it? Everything that we can allow the love of God, His forgiveness, the long-suffering for each other, we can get a greater measure of that in the Lord, and it will counteract. He will help us combat bitterness. Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? But it also brings healing. And I'm glad you said that because of this. That scripture where he said, lest any root of bitterness spring up, thereby many be defiled. What he said right before that, he was talking about, let that which is lame, see, don't let it be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And that's what the Lord wants to do. Because when you're hurting, you're at risk. You're at risk of bitterness. Doesn't mean you've done wrong. It means you're at risk of bitterness, though, if you allow it to take the fleshly course. And the Lord's saying, don't be turned out of the way, but rather, if you'll come, I want to bring some healing to you. So, you may not need this afternoon, but I had a burden for it. And you live long enough, you're probably going to need it somewhere along the line.
And I'll tell you what, it's not just the people out in the world. Brother Justin was talking about his co-worker. I'll tell you, it hurts worse when it's family. It hurts a whole lot worse when it's family. It hurts bad when it's in the congregation. It hurts when it's in the body of Christ. It hurts because you think, I thought they loved me. I thought they knew better. Why would they do that? That's when we're at risk. We're at great risk. But you know, there is healing. See, that's the joy of this. And we can allow that healing grace of God to permeate and take care of it. You see those roots. But when it's little, that's fun to take care of.
Appreciate y'all's input.